people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. Interesting. Why they do that? Their behavior gives me the impression that they brought this man to Jesus not for the man's benefit, rather for their desire to see Jesus perform another trick, another magic trick. That appears to me to be their motivation. Kind of like Jesus giving a deep, dark, empty top hat to see him reach in and what magic will he pull out of it. Nevertheless, Jesus receives the deaf, mute man. And I wonder if that was because he just couldn't help himself. He's so full of love and mercy, he can't prevent himself from this healing flowing through him, flowing from him. He doesn't turn the man away. He doesn't give in to the crowd's fascination, but lets the healing power of love flow through him. And Jesus cured him. But notice, Jesus didn't heal him the way the crowd wanted him to. He didn't lay his hand on him. Certainly, Jesus could have cured the man by simply commanding the man to hear and to speak. But Jesus did neither. What did Jesus do? He stuck his finger in the guy's ear, and he spits on his fingers and touches the man's tongue. How uncouth, how unsanitary, unclean. Now, note to all present, Jesus' behavior in no way gives children or anyone permission to poke someone in the ear and spit on them. And furthermore, if you do, don't tell your parents that you did it just to heal them. I guarantee you, you will see the wrath of God if you try to pull that one off. By the way, husbands and fathers, don't get any cute ideas. Don't put your kids up to it. But I digress. Back to what Jesus did. What's the first thing that he did? The cure would not be performed for show or for the entertainment of the crowd. So Jesus took the man off by himself, away from the crowd. He took him away from the people who viewed this man as unclean. They viewed him as being punished by God. He had been expelled from the temple, pushed out of the community. He was unworthy, unclean, thrown away, forgotten. But this forgotten man was also bewildered and overwhelmed by his sudden popularity and this frenzy that surrounded him, a frenzy that he certainly didn't understand because he couldn't hear what the commotion was about. He couldn't beg anybody to leave him alone. He was unable to say it, but he could feel it. Certainly, this deaf, mute, poor, confused, and banished man felt vulnerable and was intensely afraid. Were they going to stone him? What were they going to do with him? And Jesus felt that fear too, and he treated the man with compassion, dignity, and respect. And sure, there's some of you sitting there saying, but Deacon Tom, come on. Jesus treated this man with compassion, dignity, and respect. He poked his fingers in the guy's ears and he spit on his tongue. Yeah, he did. But notice, before he poked the guy's ears, he took him away from the commotion of the crowd. He personally connected with the man and established a relationship with him. He calmed him and became the man's focus. Now keep in mind, this man could not hear Jesus or speak to him. And Jesus knew that and understood that. So he communicated in a way that the man could understand through feeling. He felt Jesus place his finger in his ears. He felt the warm spittle on his tongue. He saw Jesus prayerfully looking up to heaven. He saw the compassion in Jesus' eyes. He felt the vibrations of Jesus groaning, "Ephphatha, be open." And he was. He was open because he was paying attention. He was intensely listening with his heart's ear. And with every nerve in his body, he felt Jesus loving him. He was completely focused on Jesus. Because of that, he was reconnected to God, to temple worship, and to his community. He was fully restored. He was cured. And there's the message. Did you hear it? He was completely focused on Jesus. Away from the maddening crowd, away from the commotion of his world, he was connected to and completely focused on Jesus. I'm confident his first words were, "Thank you, Jesus." And I wonder if he went back to those, regardless of their intentions, those that dragged him away from his old way of life and brought him to Jesus. You know, that causes me to pause for a moment and think about those who, throughout my life, have brought me to Jesus. Thank you. I pondered these readings for hours this past week, and I couldn't hear or see a thing that made any sense for a homily. With each passing day, the silence became more frustrating. I was exasperated, I felt pressured, and I actually considered calling Father and saying, "Dude, my tank's empty. I got nothing." I'm sure he would have appreciated that. But thanks be to God, the message finally soaked in. Once I physically, mentally, and spiritually surrendered my self-direction, my intention. And then I realized I had not taken time to be quiet, to rest in the Spirit, to focus on Jesus' words, and to trust in the Holy Spirit's direction. Gently, the words, "Be opened," were heard by my heart's ear. And I was opened, felt Jesus' presence, and was able to focus on Him. And my problem was solved. I was cured. There is the message. Did you hear it? Those times in our lives when we can't hear the answers, when we don't have words for our prayer, when we are poor in spirit, when we are so vulnerable we just want to go off and hide in the darkness. Those are the times we need to be alone with Jesus. Those are the times we are to feel His love and mercy with every nerve in our bodies, with every fiber of our being. Those are the times to be completely focused on Jesus and be opened. Therefore, open your eyes. Alert the ears of your spirit. Open your lips and apply your heart so that in all things you may see, hear, praise, love and worship, glorify and honor your God. There is the message. Did you hear it? Ephphatha. Be opened. And the church says, Amen.